going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Hollywood Already Did It, your movie podcast for reboots, remakes, sequels, adaptations, and why we keep telling the same stories over and over again, and if they're doing what we think they're setting out to do. As always, I am your host, Blake Schultz, and with me is Terrence Tatum.
Hello, everyone.
And we are here today to talk about the next Indiana Jones movie, The Last Crusade. This is the third time now I've seen this franchise say that we're done.
Silver. Again,
who knows? let's get right on into it, because this was a long-awaited, a lot of de-aging. Harrison Ford is back, James Mangold and his record of closing out characters we love storylines. What did you think, Terrence?
So I have to start off by saying that Indiana Jones is weird with me in that, like, yes, I've seen every film, but they don't, oddly enough, because I do like this swashbuckling, like, I like Rocketeer is one of my favorite movies of all time. I like the adventure stuff. Indy just has never really struck a major chord with me. Not to say that I hated the films. I still think some are better than the other. I loved Last Crusade a lot, like a whole lot. That's probably my favorite. But I enjoy these films, but I don't have the reference for them. So going into this, mind you, hated Last Crystal Skull. But going into this, I was like, cool, another ride with Harrison Ford. This should be fun. Old curmudgeon-y Indiana Jones. And it's weird. They're doing the same thing that a lot of these reboot remakes are doing, where one of them was with Harrison Ford as Han Solo, but they're doing this weird thing where they revisit these guys and they're miserable. Like we go back to them and they are just, their life is pure hell. Like their wife, the girl has left them. The kids don't want to be around them. They're just sitting there drunk, sad, and lonely, which is, once is fine. Doing that with every one of the heroes is kind of like, Jesus, okay, all right, this is what we're doing, sure. And so going into this halfway during the film, I was like, we're doing this exact same thing. And look, the first 20 minutes of this movie, despite some very odd choices with the CGI and de-aging thing, which we'll probably get into a little bit more, it's fun. First 20 minutes of this is fun, but it's so high and so good that all the action sequences that happen afterwards just don't compare. Kind of just like, cool. All of them are at the same height, the same level the entire time. And kind of just like, well, there are no levels to this. Everything is like capture, chase, capture, rescue. And he's kind of like, there needs to be some type of variance. And so after a while, about an hour and a half into this, I'm like, all right, guys, let's get to the point where we start feeling like the greatest hits of Indiana Jones. And while I feel like James Mangold does do a decent job of sort of putting his stamp on it, for me, a lot of the times during this film, I felt like, hey, this is James Mangold pretending to be Steven Spielberg without quite having some of the heart that Spielberg has. And there are moments it's cool to see Harrison Ford put on the fedora one more time. And this is much more of a step up than Crystal Skull. But for both of those films, I still feel like, hey, we could have probably just left it with the trilogy and been fine.
Yes, I think that's the biggest thing with the franchise right now. But I agree with pretty much everything you said. I felt the same way, that like the action just kind of stayed in one area. It's a very weird movie to compare it to, The Force Awakens. And I think part of that is because of the Harrison Ford and the coming back and the nostalgia and all this. But I really liked The Force Awakens, and I see the comparison in a negative way, where we are bringing back somebody that you loved, and it turns out that everything has gone wrong. They've divorced their partner. Something has happened with their son. So all of these, he's a man out of time, and the world has gone past him.
Yeah.
And I just am not convinced that there aren't other interesting stories to tell with people that age and with our legacy characters, because we now have sort of done that idea with Indiana Jones, Han Solo, sort of with Luke Skywalker. Logan kind of has a very same, like, I can't get out, it's all too much now. The weight is always so much. Batman, even in The Dark Knight Rises, there's always this weird, like, I want to be done, but I'm pulled back in. Godfather 3 nonsense.
Old people can be happy.
Well, it's weird that we have to do it like an old Metroid game where they've lost all their power-ups that we know, and all they're really doing is getting them all back.
Yeah.
That's all that all of these are to me now. I'm like, all okay, right. Great. We've opened up the movie. We've introduced the character. everything that I know and love about them is gone. And I have to now watch them go on the exact same journey they did. And there isn't really a lesson learned. It's more just like they got over whatever their nonsense was. Mm-hmm. We're just, oh, we feel better about our son now and we can be here.
Yeah.
And
weird.
I think that, and so much of what I like in the first three Indiana Jones movies that people don't like in four, which is the type of artifacts we're after, and then aliens. And it is very like religious thing that might have power, religious thing that might have power. The Temple of Doom isn't quite that way, but there's still sort of like voodoo magic.
Punching people through the heart and grabbing hearts. It's a lot.
Yeah. And the other two are just so connected to specific like myths.
Yeah.
And both of them, I think, are very religious oriented.
It's a lot of religious stuff to it. And when you do that, there, archaeological digs and all that type of stuff sort of leans easier to religion because they're kind of in a quasi way connected, as opposed to science and supernatural or time travel or time stuff. So I don't have a problem. People's flesh was getting burned off in Raiders. So I'm okay with like, okay, these first two acts are always adventure, and then some weird shit happens. But I can see that this is slightly different than the first three. These last two have been a little different.
And it's usually like doubt. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Which, you know, by the fifth movie, we don't need any more doubt.
Yeah.
And I think there really wasn't that in this. And the device to me, it didn't even feel like we were trying to get the dial. It felt like we were trying to get the thing to make the half to know where the dial, similar to Raiders, where it was like, well, we have to get the staff to put it there to know where to go. And that's the MacGuffin until the MacGuffin is the arc. Like we were doing this to get here. And it just felt confusing because they established so well in the other movies why this matters, why it's connected to history, and what will happen if this gets in the wrong hands, and why we doubt its power. And it's almost, and the first one works as he's almost like reluctantly on this quest of it's not going to do anything even if they get it. So who cares? And we're always sort of playing that game. And in this one, it's like, I have to go because she's trying to get this so that she can pay off her debts. But now there's Nazis, but no one believes he's a Nazi, but I know he is. And they don't really play with that. It's more, she's like, are you still a Nazi? And no one really reacts. And then we sort of wedge in this theme of like, he's a man out of time and he wants to be a part of history. But like, you've proven aliens exist and have been tortured with voodoo, and you drank from the chalice, and you like saw Nazi's skin get melted
flesh
off.
Being melted, yeah.
So you are.
Your level of believability should be.
And
should
I
be there already.
I don't know that him going back in time and being like, "I love history. Let me die in the past," worked for me.
I'm going to be honest with you. I was going to be very angry with this film if the choice was to leave him there. Like if he chose to leave, they're basically committing a hero's unformed suicide, basically, because he's taking his life but living back there in the past. I would have been pissed. But I think I'm even a little bit more upset in that he didn't really have a choice. Like he didn't choose to come back to the present day. He was knocked the hell out and then was forced into it and then thus got the happy ending with Marion. But it's kind of like that doesn't feel well earned.
I didn't feel like we even earned him wanting to stay in the past.
No,
like we open with Moon Day,
right?
And he seems like frustrated by it. And a part of me was like, if you're an archaeologist who loves history, wouldn't you love being alive for this historical moment instead of feeling like
Your
era is over.
Right. Yeah.
And they try to be like, the students aren't listening. They're all distracted by the moon. And I was like, right. But like, I was in school during major historical events. And it didn't mean that I hated my teacher. A giant historical event
really
was happening
in history occurring. And thus the history teacher would normally cater to them. Like, well, they seem to be into history. It's just maybe not what I'm teaching them, but this is still history. So let me go ahead and tell them about it. Was just a weird choice. I also, we haven't talked about Phoebe. I think her performance is great. I don't connect to Helena at all. Like, I have no connection to her whatsoever in this film. And I also don't really realize, I still don't know what her purpose or point was. Like, she brought Indy back into this problem, and then actively was like, go away, go away, go away. But you sort of started this thing. And then it feels like at the end, she's like, I did all of this so you could be happy again. It's supposed to be like, well, hold on. That's, none of that makes sense, because that's not what it, you originally said your purpose was.
No, it felt like they couldn't decide what to do with these characters in the end, because I liked her performance. I thought she was a badass. I liked her action scenes. I liked her snarkiness. There were a lot of parts in there where I was like, this is fun.
I look forward to her doing Lara Croft whenever she gets to do that. Yes.
Yeah. But right, it starts with, I'm in this class, which I guess she's been enrolled in for an entire semester.
He just didn't notice.
Just to
eventually get
to Indiana Jones's private stash, which apparently was at the school, so that she could sell. That was a firework for those who heard. It's the 4th of July. The sun's up. I don't know why we're doing them now, but why not?
Testing them out.
Yep, got to make sure it goes. There's nothing like alerting people to your fireworks that are illegal before it's time to do
them. Before it's time to do them, yeah.
And it just became, I have to pay off my debts. I have to pay off my debts. I have to pay off my debts. We get one, like, it belongs in a museum. And then all of a sudden, she's just like, actually, Indiana, it's not about my debts. I'm doing this for you.
Right.
And I was like, so did you care about your dad? And you were like, your plan was to figure out Archimedes's dial, which, like, I get that you don't want to say time travel, but just say time travel instead of doing this weird, like, he was a mathematician and he had figured out where the fissures in time were. And instead of explaining what a fissure in time is, well, you'll know. I did appreciate, though, that we've now done enough time travel movies that we didn't need to have any, like, explain it. They go back, he wants to stay, and she's just like, no, you can't, you'll break history, and we're done. That's it. Right. That's all we do. Yeah. I also sort of dug that it wasn't Archimedes figured you out
can
this.
Go anywhere in time.
Yeah. I have figured out a specific place where this opens.
It's an SOS signal, which
help
I was like,
me.
I can buy that a little bit more in this. And I think that makes it easier to swallow than, like, there's a spaceship that's been underneath there the whole time, and aliens have been here. My brain is like, oh, he just sent out an SOS distress signal, and you guys just found it and came back. Cool.
But I think, and it's always easier to rewrite someone else's movie, so I don't want to sit here and sound like I'm like, I know what they should have done, but why didn't we stay back there more? Why didn't we get there halfway, and then it could have been like Indiana Jones trying to now stop a Nazi from becoming a super Nazi and not mess up time. And then you could have had a very easy ticking clock of like, and the portal closes in this time. So we have to help Archimedes. We got to do this. And unfortunately, we know that we help Archimedes because this battle is won. So we're not really breaking history. Time is a flat circle.
Right.
And we have to do this so that we can get there, so that we can do it. It gets real Doctor Who-y, but like, that's where we are.
Feel rushed.
Fast.
It feels so quick. Like, oh, we're here and then we're gone. Cool. And like, even the villain, like, you build up Matt Mikkelsen to be this big villain. You build up this big juggernaut dude to be sort of this big villain. And then they're just kind of wiped off screen. We get to see their bodies. Yes. And it looks cool to see them charred up. But like, there is no real big payoff to all the carnage that we have sort of existed to go through to this.
And I felt like that was just to be when we find the dial and they're like, oh, this Phoenix has propellers and this person has a watch. I was like, oh, this is all of the, like, they did it. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, it's all kind of collected here. And then when you see him dead, you see the watch, I think. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is just to be like, they did it.
Right.
But, you know, Indiana Jones always has a cool James Bond style henchman death. We get the guy in the propeller that's turning around.
Yeah.
We melt people. And I just like, oh man, to just drop all of them. I feel like we missed a very, very Indiana Jones moment of him being like outmatched, and then something happens and we just drop them all.
Yeah.
Which I was bummed out by that. And it was interesting because I felt like for the relevance and thematic part of the movie of like, well, why today, outside of just sending home another legacy character, we don't really deal with like, how to identify this Nazi who has seemingly infiltrated the space race. And as we see him, is like going to meet the president. And at a time where people are like, Nazis, maybe we should have played with that idea more. Mm-hmm. Maybe it should have been concerning to some people that Indiana Jones, renowned Nazi fighter, has identified a Nazi who helped us conquer space, is now talking about conquering time, and has a meeting with the president. That seems like something that should have been urgent to everyone who heard him say that.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe that no one recognizes him now.
Right. Like when he's done this enough times and done enough things for archaeological digs that you kind of be like, oh, I know this guy. We should probably pay attention to him as opposed to him just being some random ass school teacher.
Because he says it in the room where she's selling the device. So it's like, okay, maybe this is a group of people who don't care that there's a Nazi amongst them.
Right.
But Phoebe could have, like, other people could have been like, oh, a Nazi?
Yeah.
Or play with it. It's the 60s now. Like, are we still dealing with communism? He could have been like, that guy's a Nazi. And then been like, Indy, it's communist now.
Right.
Like, do something with it instead of just being like, you look like that Nazi I punched.
Yeah.
I bet you're a Nazi. It was that. We don't really do much else with the concept of time and being out of time and a part of history. It's all just very
We basically spend 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes in that future, in that past. I'm just like, well, this is a weird choice to have this entire movie lynched on that. And they were kind of in and out, which is wild.
Especially when he's so, spoiler alert, if I could go back in time, I would stop my son from enlisting. And I was like, okay. Why isn't the conversation with Archimedes, hey, you figured this one out.
Can we work on something?
Can else? I get to that?
Yeah.
Because then I would have been like, okay, let Indiana, now he can stay.
Right.
Not stay, but he at least has a, like, you got to let me stay and figure this out.
Right. Like, I don't want to be here forever, like, but I want to work on how he figured this out and see if I can put an SOS where I was at with my.
Yeah. Like, how many fissures are there? Is it just like literal moments? Like, are there historical moments and they're all, would World War II have one and the Kennedy assassination and the moon landing? Are these all specific? I'm not sure. Maybe they said it and I missed it. And they're like, a fissure in time is like an unavoidable moment that's going to, something big and world changing is going to occur. And we have this moon landing backdrop to go to this battle, but there would have been one at Vietnam, and there would have been one here, and there would have been one here. So I feel like we could have played more because we've just been so long passing that dial around. Every action scene.
Like, do this, do that. Like, it moves, someone catches it, move on to the next one.
So many chases.
It's a lot of chases.
So many chases.
And it got to the point where my brain started shutting. I was like, guys, I don't need four of these. Two of these chases, we're good. And then we can go on and move on to the next thing. We touched on earlier about the de-aging. It's getting better. Don't get me wrong. I think when it's looking just at him, perfectly fine. When it's looking at him and then going back to a real life person, you're like, oh, this looks bizarre.
Yes. It's definitely getting to a point where we can do it and it's still minimal. And I don't need it. And I would just rather cast an actor who kind of looks like Indiana Jones.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think I get it where a lot of people are coming from, in that when you have something like Star Wars and Indiana Jones, where we've seen this person when they were the age of what we're de-aging them to, it's kind of hard to get an actor to look like them when we actually have footage of them young, which means then stop doing these films.
Yeah, but hear me out. We've made actors look like historical figures in movies. Why not? You know, I understand that we have de-aging technology, but I don't know if you're aware of this. We also have makeup, special and prosthetics.
Yeah. It would be better looking if you took, let's use Alden, since he did Solo. Let's use Alden, put some makeup on him a little bit to get him to indie version of Harrison Ford and call it a day. At least then it's practical and it looks better.
We don't even need to go that far back. Look at It and It too.
Much better.
Like, yeah, this is, we can, like, it's getting to a point where I just feel like it's studios or like VFX. I don't know who it is, but I just feel like someone wants to be like, look at this tech we have. Isn't that fun?
I agree. Cause I think a part of the problem, we'll talk about this quickly, is the box office. And when you start, when you do this de-aging stuff, that blows that budget up. How about you just do practical effects and bring that budget down a little bit? There's no reason whatsoever this movie should cost about $200 million, $250 million
no.
at all.
It's like, so why not?
The first indie for inflation and all of that stuff is about $60 million to make. How did we get here, guys? How is 250 with what we're doing?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm like, this budget is now way bigger than Indiana Jones needs.
Yeah,
it's way longer than this genre, I think, needs.
I agree. No adventure film should cost this much. 100 tops should be your bottom out. But I think the 75 day, the problem is we don't make films like that. So they're like, oh, let's make it all beautiful and do $250 million. Guys, you're shooting yourselves in the foot. Because normally when a movie makes $60 million, it's not seen as like, well, we failed. Because that normally would be a win. Because your budget wouldn't cost $250.
Yeah, it's a big number.
When you're making $60 million and you're walking out the door like, man, we got a flop here. That's because your budget's too high and you got to start bringing these guys back down.
Yeah, I think that's something that no one really talks about when they're like, is the theater dead? These movies aren't making enough money. And I'm like, I don't think it's that.
No.
I think the movies are too expensive to make.
Yeah.
And if you just didn't make them as expensive, you would be like, we're flourishing.
I think the biggest one that I always use as my example is the two Ghostbusters films. The Ghostbusters, the ladies one did. Now had other issues. The Ghostbusters ladies one was like a $140 million budget. It was, and it made $240 million back. But typically, you got to make a two and a half times your budget. The Afterlife one made less total budget wise, but it only cost like $75 million to make.
I think Batman Superman is another good example where they're like, it made $950 million worldwide, and they're like, right, it failed. And I'm like, how
$450 million?
How did you make enough money to like fund a couple countries? And you're like, man, we were close.
We didn't break even.
it's baffling.
You've chosen this world. Yeah. Like, bring everything, scale everything down, guys.
It's baffling. And I am not a financial guru. I am not a box office person, but I just, similar to when you look at your own budget sometimes and you're like, man, how am I in debt? Oh, I make $2,000 a month and it costs me $900. I'm making up numbers. None of these are real, since I know people are gonna be like, oh my goodness, and all of this is fake. And it caused me this much to live. Oh, and I'm spending more than that number at the end.
I should
be spending not that much.
Yeah, I should do less. I should do less of that.
And I get it. It's hard sometimes. You go through and you're like, fuck, it really, it's expensive to live. It's not fair.
Right.
I understand. But every now and then I know enough people who are like, I don't know how this happened. I'm like, you don't?
Like, and
you're ordering DoorDash every day. It's $30 to get Chipotle. Stop. Don't do that anymore.
I will say some of these budgets in the recent years have been inflated a bit because of COVID. They had to do things to kind of keep the ball rolling. Like, I know the Batman only wanted to cost $100 million. It blew up a little bit because they had to like extend stuff. I get it. In those cases, I think Indy's one of those two that shot a little bit during the COVID stuff. But this would have cost at least $180 million to make without that.
Yeah.
Scale it back, guys.
Yeah, and it's a bummer because I feel like we've now seen so, I can't think of any other heroes that we have to send off. And I feel like we've as a result had this conversation of like what makes a good send off before. But when I don't think we have to kill them. Like, I don't think that's the answer. But like Bond, Logan, Han Solo, Luke, a lot of these characters' final bow is that.
Is death. Yeah.
And I just feel like better than that, though, is whatever this last arc or last trauma is, this last story. And I feel like this just felt like a regular adventure. Like if Indiana Jones was serialized and this was the season finale, I think I'd be like, it just feels like an episode
it's
of TV.
It's like episode 13 and the 20 episode season. This was like episode 13. Like, this doesn't feel like there's anything that was super climactic that this is the final send off. You're kind of like, oh, cool, we did it again.
And I think it could have been as simple as get him back in time sooner, get Marion back in sooner, get all the interesting stuff about your script sooner.
Because it really sucks. As I left that theater, I was like, ah, the indie Marion stuff is where the heartbeat of this film is. And unfortunately, we don't get that until we're about to exit the theater.
Yeah. I was like, I feel like there's so many simple, just move it back a little bit. But that is our show, guys. Thank you for listening. You can, of course, leave us a review and comment on the YouTube page. Follow us at Hollywood ADI on Twitter and TikTok and YouTube. Terrence has our YouTube channel with all of his show reviews, trailer reactions, and everything else. And we will see you guys next time, because next week, I believe, is empty. And then
We're in it.
And then it's Mission Impossible. And then Barbie and Oppenheimer face off in a glorious battle.